destiny of ordinary citizens. And that's not going to happen overnight, because I think that there's a tendency to be skeptical of government and to be skeptical in particular of U.S. intelligence services.
The bulk collection of phone records has been among the most controversial of Edward Snowden's disclosures in the last 9 months. In a statement, Snowden called Obama's embrace of ending bulk surveillance a turning point, adding, quote, "It marks the beginning of a new effort to reclaim our rights from the NSA and restore the public seat at the table of government." Writing on his website, The Intercept, Glenn Greenwald, the journalist who veiled the bulk surveillance based on Snowden's leaks, said, quote, "The fact that the president is now compelled to pose as an advocate for abolishing this program, the one he and his supporters have spent 10 months hailing, is a potent vindication of Edward Snowden's acts and the reporting he enabled." The death toll from a mudslide in Washington state has risen to 24. Local Fire Chief Travis Hott said no one was found alive in a challenging day of searching for survivors.
And hello. If you've just joined us, please stay tuned for our regularly scheduled program of Indigenous Talk Radio with the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Listening to Angry Indian Radio, the podcast of the Aboriginal Press News Service.
Find us on the web, ang-newswire.blogspot.com.
First story to this morning takes us to the United States, where American civil rights lawyer and mayor of Jackson, Mississippi, Chukwuma Mbamba, died last week. Now, Mississippi's Hinds County supervisor, Kenny Stokes, says that he believes Lumumba was killed. The county supervisor is demanding that doctors carry out a thorough autopsy to determine the cause of his death. Lumumba once called for an independent black majority country in the U.S. Southeast, and as a political activist, he also campaigned to pressure U.S. authorities to pay billions of dollars to African Americans as reparations for their ancestors' enslavement.
Angry Indian Radio. You are listening to the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Stand up and fight for Indigenous rights.
Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
This is Indian land! Indian land! Indian land! Indian land!
You guys have no jurisdiction here.
You are listening to the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Real talk for the fourth world.
Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Who are you? You don't know. Don't tell me Negro, that's nothing. What were you before the white man named you a Negro? And where were you? And what did you have? What was yours? And how did he take it? What gun did you see? Where is your history? How did the man wipe out your history? How did the man, what did the man do to make you as dumb as you are right now?
Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
All Indians, all over the land, all saying the same thing. This is our homeland. This is our birthright. They don't want any white man comes in here and tell us that you have to divide this up this way or that way. The white man doesn't own this land. Just because he has a gun, he said, I took your land.
Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Transmitting from within the occupied Aboriginal territories of North America to the people of the Fourth World and all ships at sea. This is Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Internet Radio for Smart Aboriginal Radio.
Este es Aborigen Inteligente de Radio.
This is Radio Intelligente Indigena.
The debate that is now taking place in the Congress, the 205 votes voting for the first time to rein in the NSA in a way that must be, would not be taking place if Edward Snowden had done anything differently from what he did do. He had to be out of the country, as he saw from the example of Bradley Manning, or he would be in a cell incommunicado and not part of that debate right now. As a matter of fact, we owe Mr. Snowden a great debt for starting the possibility of remaining a democracy and not becoming the police state of which we now have the infrastructure, the architecture, the archives. Well, I'm very encouraged by the fact that there is at last a discussion taking place in the Congress for the first time on the fact that the reforms instituted by the Church Committee have failed. The FISA Amendment Court has failed as a use of the judicial to rein in the abuses of the NSA. The intelligence committees have failed. And in fact, the idea that President Barack Obama has said that three branches of government have participated in this, when what you have are secret briefings of a gang of eight in the Congress, secret decisions on secret law by a secret court, the FISA Amendment Court, that constitutes oversight and separation of powers is simply absurd.
Internet radio for smart of
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Transmitting to the people of the Fourth World from within occupied North America, this is Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Salutation and peace to all original human beings resident on the physical plane. I'm your host, Angry Indian, editor-in-chief of the Aboriginal Press News Service, blogging to the Fourth World from aboriginalnewswire.tumblr.com and aboriginalpress.wordpress.com and ang-newswire.blogspot.com. Thank you for tuning in to Indigenous news, thought, and analyses concerning the issues that matter to original peoples and other communities across the world living under imperial, theological, racist, neoclassist, neocolonialist, neoliteral, neoliberal, neo-fascist, neo-misogynist, and neo-homophobic control. I wish to welcome you all to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Welcome along, welcome along. I wish peace to the gods and earths and love and solidarity to the entire original family in this time of strife and struggle. I'm your host, Angry Indian, and I'm here, as always, with my co-executive producer and expert studio engineer, Ms. Guadalupe Morales. We apologize because we haven't had any money to be in the studio. And, right? I mean, it is what it is, right? So, you know, we're in here today, and we're going to try to get this done quick so we can actually get it done within the time frame that we've actually booked this time. I mean, hey, look, you know, as I said, you know, you heard me on the Bob Kincaid show not too long ago. You have Roger Free Kansas, right? Berkeley Liberation Radio, you know, they both carry this show. And, you know, I hate to say this, you know, everybody needs money. Now, we don't ask for anything, you know, I mean, mainly because we know, we understand what the deal is. We don't have anything. So, you know, we're not really, you know, asking for anybody. And we're trying to basically show that you can do these things without a whole lot of money. Now, frankly, if you have a microphone set up, you know, like a headset maybe, or, you know, I mean, it got these various things. I mean, don't they have microphones to come with these computer games and what have you? Yeah, because people play internationally, right? So, you know, I mean, if you have that, I mean, even with the basic Windows, you have the basic recorder, and you can spit out a wave or an MP3 file or what have you. If you have a Mac, I mean, all of them come with GarageBand. Yeah, all of them come with GarageBand, right? Stock. So, and Linux, I believe it comes with a music program. So, you know, you can produce your own shows. You know, it doesn't take a lot, you know, to do this. You know, other than, you know, figuring out what the hell you're going to talk about and trying to make sense, which, you know, you do what you can. Right? You do what you can. So, you know, in any case, you know, that's that. What I'm saying is, you know, support your favorite podcast, your favorite progressive media, right? You know, keep, you know, do what you can to continue to keep that kind of conversation flowing. Because if you do not, then everything gets stuck with Fox News and whatever the Tea Party has to say, or, you know, whatever Svoboda has to say if you're in Ukraine, or whatever Jobbik has to say if you're in Hungary, or whatever the EDL or the National Front, or, you know, whatever, you know, you dig what I'm saying? You dig what I'm saying? I mean, all of these corporations, you know, are using these groups in order to funnel the confusion that needs to happen in order for them to basically do what they're doing, which is take over, you know, by privatizing everything, by using, you know, war and ethnic conflict. But see, the thing about it is, you know, you start things sometimes to go on, you know, in all kinds of fucked up ways that you didn't really think was going to go down. Now, what I'm saying is, here there was another referendum vote in, it was Venice, right? Venice, Italy. Well, the Venetian state that was the, you know, well, okay, if you're not aware of this, you know, Italy's not that old as a unified state. It used to be a bunch of, you know, right? Yeah, Machiavelli, right? Yeah, check Machiavelli on this. You know, it was a group of city-states. And the Venetian state, I suppose, well, there was a referendum. They want to go back to that. Now, we mentioned Venice not too long ago, didn't we? Because it's sinking. You know, the water's rising, and eventually it's going to be it's not going to be livable, you know, unless everybody, you know, goes around by boat or something, which would be bizarre. But, you know, hey, you know, global warming, climate change, right? You know, it doesn't matter which word we use. Isn't that right, Luntz? What's his first name, Luntz? That cat. The main propagandist for the GOP. Frank Luntz. Frank. Yeah, you know, I mean, what the... He's the one that got everybody calling it, you know, climate change instead of global warming because it was climate change. Well, you know, the climate, it changes, you know, because, you know, people who watch Fox, you know, the Tories, you know, people who believe that Bill O'Reilly has any credibility or Sean Hannity asked if he has anything to say, you know, or anybody else they have on that goddamn network. They, you know, you're just going to the lowest register of goddamn intelligence. You know, when you listen to what they say and the arguments that you get. Speaking of, you might have noticed if you follow me on Twitter, which is the Angry Indian one word on Twitter, you might have noticed that my personal website has been suspended by WordPress. Now, I don't know how the hell that happened when you look at a lot of the material that's flying around on WordPress. You know, all kinds of things. But, you know, somehow my site was suspended. You know, it said it violated terms of service. I don't know what the hell they're talking about. It was there for, I don't know what, a few years now. Well, in any case, you know, yeah, I've complained. And so far, I haven't, you know, gotten a response. But this is not the first time this has happened. I mean, usually it's happened when I've, you know, made comments about Israel. You know, I can't think of anything I've said recently, you know, but there was somebody that was somewhat hounding me. And this has been happening more lately. And it would be interesting if these conservative slash libertarians slash right wing slash neo-Nazis, but too cowardly to admit that they're neo-Nazis, slash fascists, slash Tea Party folks. Did I say that already, Tea Party? Well, you dig what I'm saying. you know, the NRA to them is their religion. You know, they really want to belong to World Church of the Creator, but they probably don't, only because they've never heard of it, because they don't read anything. Because I, you know, like this last little thing I got into, if you want to call it a discussion, you know, if you want to be polite like that, you know, because these people are always being offensive, and it doesn't make any sense to be reaction. You know, yeah, you know. What do you say, Lou? Why do I even bother? Well, because, you know, there have actually been times I've made people to get, you know, not so much to say, okay, I'm wrong, you know, because that's not going to happen. But they, you know, get them to realize that they really don't know what the fuck they're talking about. And you know, and this other fellow, every time I ask him a direct goddamn question about his own fucking politics, he comes back with, do you support abortion? Do you support welfare? You know, it's like, why don't you answer the goddamn question? And really, you know, it becomes clear to you after a few posts that these folks really do not know what the fuck they're talking about. All they have are talking points, especially when you tell them that all they have are talking points, and then they regurgitate three or four posts later accusing you of talking points, because they don't have any goddamn ideas. They can't think for themselves. You know, it's really sad, actually, when you think about it. You know, the irregular problem with conservatives. You know, I mean, they're afraid of their own motherfucking shadow, you know, and that's the problem. You know, that's why they feel the need to have firearms all over the goddamn place, to live in gated fucking communities. You know, instead of just asking yourself, what's the real fucking problem out here? You know, why is there crime? Why is there this? Why is there that? Well, there's a lot of fucking inequality. You know, I mean, recently, if you've been following the news, you got people who've been working for fucking McDonald's. You know, we serve billions of pounds of questionable, you know, foodstuffs being served all around the world, you know, all over the globe, and eventually in space, too. You know, but yeah, matter of fact, do you remember that fucking loop that Burger King had? You can find it on YouTube, folks, where they went to populations, indigenous populations, and I'm not saying non-white, because you need to look at it. I said indigenous populations, right? Where they brought the Burger King to them to give them the taste test. Of course, they're surrounded by these foreigners who got cameras, and here they're coming with something new, and they're putting meat that they're grilling, you know, which of course they don't do in those damn restaurants, right? If you can call them restaurants, which is a shame that they're even being called restaurants, you know, and this is why Europeans laugh at Americans, and you can understand why, you know. So it's anyway, they did this, and, you know, of course they got the smiles and the grins, and, you know, well, they're doing something new, and you're, you know, smiling and saying, hey, yeah, do that. And they, and of course they tried to make it out as that this was completely innocent, that there was no influence on their part. It was just the, you know, the beauty and the incredible flavor of a Burger King burger, you know. And evidently they want to take this out to these indigenous folks, you know, the Sami and what have you, and have them start eating this, which is, you know, fucking ridiculous. The food that we have here already isn't goddamn edible. So it's like, what the hell are they talking about? We don't even have justice here. You know, and that's the other thing about this whole Ukraine bit. You know, you might have noticed, again, if you follow me on Twitter, you know, that, you know, we've been trying to get people to come on and talk about Ukraine for long. And see, and this is where a lot of this, you know, back and forth, I've been dealing with these Tory types. Well, what am I saying Tory? You know, why am I wasting my time with that? There's no fucking Tories in the U.S. There's no fucking Tories, you know, they don't even know what the fuck that means, man. And what's me? Well, what am I saying? You have a whole lot of Canadians and Brits that don't know what the fucking means either. Australians, you know, for that matter, too. The Tories were a bunch of thieves and shit. They were Irish thieves that were considered, well, depending on who you ask, rebels or crooks. But they used to raid towns and what have you, rob every motherfucking buddy. You know, that is who the conservatives in the UK named themselves after. You know, it's kind of like you look at the elephant with the Republican National Convention here, the RNC, right? The GOP, the Grand Old Party. Now, I mean, you can look at the Democratic thing and talk about the, was it the Burrow? Yes, the Burrow, right? Burrow donkey, whatever you call it here. And, you know, you can talk about how stupid it is, but, you know, what about elephants? Right? the late Jack Kennedy, I mean, what did he say about elephants? He said it's the same thing about Republicans. You know, they follow the elephant in front of them. You know, they don't think for themselves. You know, they have a long memory, right? Short attention span and shit, you know, which isn't true about elephants, actually. You know, I mean, that's all the stereotype about elephants. And I suppose you can say that's the stereotype about Republicans. But the thing about it is, look at what the fuck they do. You know, I mean, the same Republicans will talk about, well, look at what black people do. Look at the Indians, all drunk. Well, look at the Republicans. They all say stupid shit, you know. They argue all the dumb goddamn things. And when they're really fucking ridiculous, and if they really don't like you because they can't keep up with you fucking intellectually, you know, because see, one of the reasons why I have a feeling that I know it was connected to Twitter, because somebody under another account, you know, made a comment on the personal site calling me a troll, basically using the same fucking language he was using on Twitter, but with a different account, basically because he could not fucking argue his goddamn opinion. He didn't know what the fuck he was talking about. So, you know, like a petty person, you know, if I can't get you one way, I get you another. So basically he accused me of anti-Semitism, racism against white people, you know, cause that's what it was about. And, you know, supposedly now I've, you know, violated the terms of service and Black has been suspended. So, you know, it's complete bollocks. But, you know, this is what happens when you strike nerves, man. You know, in people who are totally terrified. They cannot deal with, you know, the way things are changing. Instead of trying to improve things, to make things better for everybody, which, of course, you know, makes things better for yourself. No, this gets selfish. It's all about us. Now, you know, there's actually a point to that. You know, it's like, if I say I'm a Gullah nationalist, well, look, I'm looking out for Gullah, you know, national interests. Doesn't mean I'm excluding anybody. And the Gullah people have never excluded anybody. I mean, that's been part of the problem. You know, same thing with, you know, Native American nationalism. I mean, there is a point to it. But then it's the point, and when you start to get xenophobic about it, you need to draw a goddamn line. Same thing with liberalism. Liberalism has its place. But at some point, you can't be free with everything. And same thing with conservatism. You can't be tight-fisted with everything. See, libertarians, you know, they're really, you know, Republicans who smoke pot, have gay friends, belong to S&M clubs, right? You know, like John Bolton, if you believe the rumors about him, which, you know, I anything with him, you know, I'm liable to take, you know, that said about him in a negative light. I'm liable to believe just on the face of it, because anybody knows anything about John Bolton. The insanity that he has put forth. The stone things in the air, things he said about Cuba, things he said about people in general. You know, just accusing, you know, widely people of being communists and what have you. You know, I mean, just, I believe it. The misogyny in that type of scared thinking goes along with that. What was it, Lupe, your husband and I were talking about? Night of the Generals, right? You know, when they knew that the Allies were coming down on them. And the SS, they took over a castle and just became like this whole S&M, B&D, you know, urinate on me, stomp on me, call me sir, you know, Ilsa, she wolf of the SS. I mean, wasn't that what all that bullshit was about? You know, if you really want to roll this way and we can, you know, follow me. I know it's a tangent, but follow me here. The Stalags, look this up, the Stalags, Israel Stalags. And what you'll find out is this was the Israeli pawn that was running around or being published on the newsstands there in pulp magazine form through the 60s and 70s, where it's, you know, Jewish males being, you know, stomped down on by German Nazis, female German Nazis. They torture them, they punish them, and then they turn the tables and punish them and abuse them. And, you know, it's a trip. It's a trip. Now, nobody really wants to talk about this anymore because it's embarrassing, but there's still copies of these things floating around. You know, go online and look for it. But, you know, it's just, you know, what I'm trying to say is when you think about Zionism, and I'm talking about hardcore revisionist Zionism and how Palestinians are not just treated, but ideologically and psychologically and psychically viewed by people who are just so rabid in their, I don't know. I mean, it's almost myth-like. Yeah, I mean, it's cultish in and of itself. This whole, you know, like, have you ever had a debate with somebody about, you know, what's going down in occupied Palestine, otherwise known as Israel, Ersatz Israel? You know, they get this glassy look in their eyes, man. It's like when you watch the PAX channel, you know, those people, you know, when they hold those big pot, you know, big Bibles, and they got the big hair and what have you, and the shoulder pads, you know, they just get this glassy look in their eye, man. And they get like dizzy looking, and they talk about Israel like it's this place, you know, like it's this dream, it's this place. And when you talk about Palestinians, their faces change, and the steam comes out of their fucking ears, and you start to see horns and shit, you know, like right above their fucking temples, man. And they just completely change. And then all of a sudden, these folks don't deserve anything, and fuck that. And when you say that, you know, Jesus de Cristo, right? Jesus the Christ, right? Was himself a Semite, was himself a Palestinian, right? And all scientific, you know, proof has shown this. Was not a white man, was not blonde, was not that blue-eyed cat that you guys are praying to. You know, and it's, you know, I'm sorry if it bothers you and it makes you feel unimportant, but it's not me. And it's not any other person of color either, you know, and you guys really need to find a way to get over this shit. It's a goddamn shame, you know, and it's an injustice, and you're doing a fucking injustice to yourself, you know, it's fucking ridiculous. I mean, okay, yeah, you know, you're really mad that Obama's president. I don't know what the fuck for. I mean, he's doing every fucking thing that you want. I mean, he's doing everything that you motherfucking want. There is not one thing that he has done that hasn't been to the benefit of white people in America. He's done nothing for Africans. He's done nothing for natives. The UN report came in and slammed the United States just as much as it slammed Canada for its treatment of indigenous people there, otherwise known as the First Nations. Do you think the United Nations gave a good report about black people here in the United States? No, it didn't. It didn't give a good report for any of the Americas. Mexico didn't get a good report on how it treats indigenous people or anybody else. But, you know, it's not that anybody's giving a damn about this here. They're talking about how Russia has violated international law and has caused all this chaos when they're doing exactly what the fuck has been going on here in the West, you know, because everybody wants to draw the line now. Now, how many of you motherfuckers want to call Russia Europe now? See, every Russian that I've ever goddamn known said that they were Asian, especially if they were Jewish, right? You know, they identified themselves as Asians, maybe Eurasians, you know, at a stretch. And there's always been this argument. And I've said this before on the show, you know, when they don't like Russia, it's part of Asia. It's the East. When Putin was doing, you know, their thing and going along with them and wasn't causing a whole lot of strife and, you know, hey, yeah, we're together on the war on terror and what have you. And he was going after, you know, I mean, there were separatists in Crimea that they were dealing with, too, weren't there? But I do know in Chechnya, who, you know, I don't know, ask Steven Seagal what's going on in Chechnya. He's taking Dana Rohrabacher over there. And whoever else he took, all as far as I remember, anyway, Republicans. There might have been a Democrat or two in that group. But how did Steven Seagal hook up with Vladimir Putin? You know, because this you know, there's all kinds of news with him sitting around with Vladimir Putin. The same way that Dennis Rodman was sitting around with the cat now that's in charge who took over after his daddy in North Korea. And, you know, Dennis Rodman hasn't heard the end of it yet. Now, I know everybody can clown Dennis Rodman, and Dennis Rodman's easy to clown. And, you know, who the fuck cares? Who the fuck is Steven Seagal? I mean, OK, you look at Dennis Rodman, you look at Steven Seagal. One's a freak, you know, admittedly so. Right. Because I've said this before, too. You know, honest freaks don't bother people. You get what I'm saying? They look for other people who are just as freaky as them so they can do what the fuck they want to do. Usually. Generally, I know you bring up Rick James. I know. And you're right, Luther. You're right. I mean, that shit that he was involved in was
that was, you know, creepy. It might have been. You know, I'm not defending him. It's just, until you actually showed me some of that data, which I believe is on Wikipedia for anybody else who wants to look it up, I didn't know all that information. So, you know, it's still rolling around my skull because we were just talking about that. But yeah, you know, I mean, generally, people who are honest about their idiosyncrasies, you know, they tend not to fuck with people, you know, almost always, usually, I suppose. But on the other hand, with Steven Seagal, I mean, you know, you got all the rumors about his background. You got all the stories about Tibet, and now he's supposed to be a tulku. And for those of you who know anything about Buddhism, especially Tibetan Buddhism, you know, it's really mysterious. You know, you got all kinds of demons and ghosts and gods and what have you, and sub-gods. And you got, you know, lamas, of course. You know, most people know about that because the Dalai Lama, you know, which this one is alive and healthy and with the world because he's not caught up in the politics that goes on in Tibet between the three monasteries that run Tibet. You know, and if you don't understand anything about Buddhist politics, you know, you really don't notice. Because, you know, Buddhism is not perfect. Believe that. Believe that. If you see what's going on in Burma / Myanmar, right? You know, I'm still not sure which one to call it. But in any case, you got the Rohingya people who are Muslim. They're a Muslim minority. They're an indigenous people. They're ethnic subset of the other ethnic groups there, I believe. But now because of, you know, this kind of xenophobic nationalism that I'm talking about, not a positive nationalism, but a negative goddamn nationalism, where you delve into these ethnic fucking rivalries and shit, for some fucking reason, the Buddhists there are doing everything that they can to, you know, basically, you know, eliminate. I mean, to ethnically cleanse, they're committing genocide against the Rohingya people. These are Buddhists who are attacking Muslims. You know, some are making a religious argument, which is crazy when Buddhism technically is not a motherfucking religion. But this is what happens when people get into this religious fucking nonsense. You get into this religious goddamn paradigm. Right? I mean, the Buddha, the historical Buddha, would not tolerate any of this. And we'll call all of these motherfuckers in Burma hypocrites. And if there is any such thing, well, actually, what am I talking about? There is the Sangha, right? I mean, is there any way to excommunicate anyone from the Sangha? No, you know. You know, with Christianity, you can be ejected from the church. You can be excommunicated. But in, and I don't know how it works with Islam, but in Buddhism, you know, you come in there of your own free will, and if you decide to leave, you leave of your own free will. I mean, it's principles that you accept. It's not the belief in the Buddha. It's not the belief that the Buddha will bring you to the heaven. Well, see, with that, that's again where I'm wrong, right, Luke? Because you have Pure Land Buddhism, where they do believe in a pure land after death if you have done good work here, that you earned that. See, well, yeah, but there's no hell, you know, not like the Christian hell. I mean, nobody has hell like the Christians. I mean, you got Sheol with Judaism, right? And what, Islam? I don't know. What, you just nothingness? Something like that. I don't know for sure. But with Buddhism, I mean, when you lose the five aggregates and you lose your senses, that's it. That's it. You know, now as an indigenous person, well, that's something different. You know, you go back to your ancestral line, or you come back, or you rest. You know, it depends on the particular tradition, depends on the particular people. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, why am I even giving a fuck about this? You know, Steven Seagal hanging out with Vladimir Putin is just as weird and just as much bullshit as Dennis Rodman fucking around with this cat over here in North Korea. I can't even remember his name. Il Jung, whatever it is. The one who supposedly had his uncle whacked for something, you know, and, it, you know, had a girlfriend whacked when he first got in. So, I mean, you know, this is the type of world, you know, and how the West can say any goddamn thing doesn't make any sense when, you know, the head of state over here supposedly has a list of people that they take out at any given time. You know, sometimes I suppose they send operatives, other times I suppose they send these machines of death, you know. I mean, it's, you know, again, where is the West, any of these nations in the West, in a position to say anything about Ukraine to say anything about Crimea. I mean, no one's even really talking about Georgia and South Ossetia. I mean, how the hell did that happen? What happened with that? Was oil involved? Yes. Is oil involved with this whole thing in Ukraine? Yes. Always was, always will be. I mean, there are various maps out there. I mean, you know, there's one that they're pushing here in the West about, in the Western media anyway, about the ethnic differences in Ukraine. But there's another one, I believe it was on Policy Mike, and you might even be able to find it on Truthout, that shows the fuel lines, the petroleum lines, they go in, and the petroleum lines that go out, you know, right, the pipelines. And then you have, you know, the other, you know, online, you know, they did the shipping and what have you. And basically, if you want to understand what's happening, look at the, you know, how fuel is basically funneled through the Ukraine. Because remember, they were talking about this shutting off Russia altogether in terms of sales. And they said, well, fuck it, we'll do business with North Africa, you know. Now, who that would be exactly, I don't know. You know, I mean, there's Libya there. Everybody's going in Africa, right? Everybody's coming in Africa. Africa's just being, you know, sodomized without Greece. And, you know, again, it's a motherfucking shame. And, you know, it seems that nothing can be done because the most powerful black man in the world is what? Doing, you know, what is he doing? And what happened with Holder? After Chokwe Lumumba, you know, had his sudden, transition, you know, because nobody saw this coming. The man was healthy. And then Holder, you know, all of a sudden he comes down with, illness. And I understand he's been hospitalized. We haven't heard any more news, you know, that's been it. You know, is something going on? You know, I'm not saying anything. But it turns out that the people who support Chokwe Lumumba believe that there's a conspiracy. When it comes to Alpha Right the Third, there's obviously a conspiracy. You know, I mean, how many different names can I bring up, brothers and sisters? How many conspiracies are there? I mean, I'm just seeing another one right now. Loopy put on the screen. This is from the ClarionLedger.com. It turns out that Mississippi is going to execute a woman. Michelle Byram, 57, on Thursday, she will be the first woman executed in the state of Mississippi since 1944. Now, here's the problem. They're executing her for, I believe, killing her husband. But it turns out her son had repeatedly confessed to the killing, that she's been, you know, charged and accused, charged, accused, and sentenced for, right? Found guilty and sentenced for. Now, how the hell are you going to, when you know for a fact now, you know for a fact, it turns out there's reams of evidence that her son had admitted to this. Now, she was battered and abused by this man, and evidently he was, you know, beaten up on both of them. And basically, he tried to do in his father a couple of times, and he ended up, you know, I guess succeeding. And he admitted to doing this. He told he told the mental health workers that he was dealing with that, you know, he did this. He confessed, basically. Now, this is written by Jerry Mitchell again for the ClarionLedger.com. And I advise you to go look at it. I advise you to go look at it because, now she was in the hospital with pneumonia and other ailments after ingesting rat poison, something she had reportedly done for 3 years because of a mental disorder. And a psychologist said, yeah, you know, he admitted doing this. So, yeah, and on the day, she was in the hospital. So, this is goddamn injustice. You know, they don't want to admit that they made a fucking mistake. So they're willing to let this woman go and be executed, let alone still be in the joint for something that they know that she did not motherfucking do. Talk to me about justice. Talk to me about justice. Talk to me about justice in the United States. But they will pick and choose, you know, which cases, you know, overseas that they will point to in terms of, you know, human rights, right? You know, in terms of, religious liberty, journalistic liberty, this, that, and the other. But over here, you know, Occupy movement, they can't even find out why the hell they were under, you know, the type of pressure that they were under. And they didn't even know the type of pressure that they were under, because the people who were supposed to be watching their back, you know, the people that people, you know, that are, you know, American taxpayers are paying to, you know, basically uphold what is supposed to be justice in this country, could not tell these protesters something that they're, you know, pointing to in the Maidan and over in Libya and Syria, you know, all of these other countries that, you know, they're telling everybody to stand up for democracy. Well, here you have the Occupy protesters. They were standing up for democracy. They were standing up to be heard. And it turns out that there were, you know, people, you know, who were basically looking to do harm to them. And they can't find out who. You know, the investigative bodies will not tell them. Look it up. Go to Truthout. Go to Alternate. Look for yourself. It's out there. And, you know, when we look at Ukraine, you know, ask yourself, if these people can break off, and the Venetians are talking about this, and you got Alsace-Lorraine, and you got the Basque, of course, right? And you got Catalonia, and you got Scotland. What's going to happen in North America? I mean, you got Nunavut, you know, they're kind of there, right? And there was another treaty that was supposedly going to turn over everything in Vancouver, BC. That turned out to be nothing but a news report and some hot air. I mean, you got Canada, you got the U.S., and you got Mexico. You got the Zapatistas. They already have some groundwork. You know, what's going to happen here? You got Hawaii. What's going to happen here? You got Puerto Rico. What's going to happen? What's going to happen here? And it's going to be the same thing. You know, you're going to be fascist against those who are actually trying to lead a democratic revolution for, you know, for something better, to try to do something that will actually help people and be progressive, you know. Or is it going to be the same old thing of, power, man? You know, start to really understand the definition and the rules of power. And, you know, a lot of this will become much easier to comprehend. This is the Angry Indian. Please stay tuned. You are listening to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
This is Malachi Daniels, talking to you from New York City. You're listening to Aboriginal News, Angry Indian Radio, a place where you can come to hear what's really critical and discussed about African people, about indigenous people, what is going on globally. Where you can come and get real information. This is not CNN. This is not even RT or STV. This is Aboriginal News. Come and get it.
It has always been, you know, ever since I can remember, a leader and like a teacher. And I always refer to him as my dad. They always say, "What's the inmate's number?" And I always say, "Oh, daddy's number is AF3855. And daddy needs this. And daddy's is experiencing chest pain." And the doctor got on the phone and said, "Well, tell him to stop yelling." And I said, "Yelling what?" And he said, "I understand that Russell is yelling at the young guys coming in, telling them to try to stay. Don't let your mind leave you. Don't get distracted into your own self. Try to stay focused and don't lose yourself." The prison in which my dad is in now, SCI Green, is in Pennsylvania. About 2 years ago, over 10 guys in their 20s hung themselves in solitary confinement. What he's noticing and what has really happened is that young guys are coming in off the streets and they're being locked down in solitary confinement. And my dad always explains it as they come in strolling and they fresh off the streets and they think they can handle this. And within 6 months, some of them are ready to kill themselves. Daddy is reviewed every 90 days. And every 90 days he stands, no, you got to go back to solitary confinement. But keep up the good work. You're doing so good. More than 23 years without any infractions and you're still doing real good, but we got to still put you in solitary confinement. We had the Secretary of Prisons of Pennsylvania saying that Russell hasn't done anything in more than 20 years. No infractions. He's been in solitary confinement more than 20 years. I think he can do this program. Yet, the warden, the superintendent of the prison said no. My dad will be 70 years old soon, and he's been in jail 39 years. What more can you get out of that?
Don't let the colonial occupation blues get you down. Listen to the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. The podcast for Intelligent Aboriginal.
Nothing British is a campaign against racism and extremism. Add your voice by signing our petition at www.nothingbritish.com.
Hello, I am Susan Aglukkaq. The North has the highest incidence of sexually transmitted diseases, STDs, in the country. We also have a high rate of teenage pregnancies. High-risk behaviors, unprotected sex, lead to the spread of HIV/AIDS. It can be prevented. Learn the ways to protect yourself and others. Knowledge is power.
Radio Insurgente, la voz de los sin voz.
Vamos, 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 vamos adelante, para que salgamos en la lucha avante, porque nuestra patria grita y necesita de todo el esfuerzo de los zapatistas.
Transmitiendo desde algún lugar de las montañas del sureste mexicano, en la frecuencia 100.1 en FM.
Hello, I'm Carol Gordon. Inform yourself about Plan B emergency contraception. Information can be the best protection, especially dealing with asexual assault or unprotected sex. If you are 17 or older, you do not need a prescription to receive Plan B. All Indian Health Service facilities should carry Plan B, but most don't. This is a violation of your reproductive rights. Call your local Indian Health Service unit and ask for Plan B. It is our right as Native women to receive Plan B. This message is brought to you by the Native American Women's Health Education Resource Center.
I Don't Know More calls all people
to join in peaceful revolution,
to honor indigenous sovereignty,
and protect the land and water
for generations to come.
Mexicans, South Americans, all indigenous people, get inspired,
take action,
and become a part of the solution.
It's my future,
your future,
our future.
We are the protectors of Mother Earth.
Stand up and protect it.
Stand up and protect it.
Stand up
and protect our earth.
Do not sit.
Do not sit.
Do not sit.
Do not sit.
And become a part of this incredible movement.
The time has come.
idle no more.
Idle no more.
Idle no more.
Become idle no more.
White society wants you to know that anti-African racial hatred is a thing of the past.
And the Democrats are throwing the election away. For what? An inadequate black male who would not have been running had it not been a white woman that was running for president. I'm no second-class citizen. And God damn the Democrats.
With white people showing love like this, who needs enemies? Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. The anti-colonial cure for mental slavery.
He knew by the second day that my sister was gone and she never came home that something was wrong because she wouldn't do that. So my mom told us to call the cops and we just had a feeling something was wrong, and weeks went by. We were trying to look for her, and then finally the detectives came to the house and said this guy admitted to murdering her. And it was, oh, that was the most awfulest day of our lives. My mom broke down. I never saw my mom break down like that. She just, I don't know, I never saw my mom ever break down like that.
Canada's child rights record and accuses Harper's government of, quote, serious and widespread discrimination. Canada recently passed a new law. Bill C-10 allows for harsher penalties for youth offenders and makes it easier for courts to judge them as adults. The UN says that Canada no longer conforms to its Child Rights Convention or any other international standards. UN authorities also indicted the Canadian government for discrimination against its Indigenous and Black community. According to the report, a Canadian Aboriginal is more likely to be jailed than a graduate from high school. Many analysts say that under Stephen Harper's government, human rights abuses in Canada have increased dramatically. Well, from Vancouver, I'm joined by Alfred Lambermont. He's a human rights lawyer. Welcome to the program, sir. Mr. Lambermont, I mean, we have Canada constantly accusing Iran of human rights violations. In the United Nations, it's been behind several resolutions against Iran. But is there anyone to question Canada's human rights violations?
Well, you know, I can verify firsthand of Canada's genocide against its Indigenous population. And I say that because I've been a legal advisor to the International Tribunal into Crimes of Church and State, and specifically into the graves, the mass graves at the Aboriginal residential school in Brampton, Ontario, where now there have come to light the remains of mass graves of First Nations children who were murdered as part of the residential school program. But what is more, that has been covered up by the current Harper administration, Harper government. And I don't call it the government of Canada. In fact, the Harper government calls it the Harper government, not the government of Canada. So I think that what is real here is that Canada has become a nation that is covering up its own genocide, and one need only go to the International Tribunal into Crimes of Church and State for detailed verification of that. The website is itccs.org, and I'm a legal advisor to that. And I'd like to say something else, that immediately following my last broadcast on Press TV with regard to the legality of, or the illegality under international law of the drone bombings of Yemen, my commercial mail was rifled by agents of the government of the Harper government in Canada Post, and I complained to my member of parliament, and they did an investigation. Here is the official envelope of the government of the Canada Post, so that the Harper government is retaliating politically against journalists like myself who report these facts on Press TV. And I want you and your audience to know what is happening to journalists in Canada who report these facts and who confirm what you're saying in Canada. The Harper government is protecting genocide here in its territory and is committing reprisals against journalists like myself who report the illegality under international humanitarian law of U.S. drone strikes in Yemen and in that region.
Indeed. And now, Mr. Lambert-Mont, I mean, you speak of Canada's rights violations and the genocide, but how is the government of Canada perceived among Canadians themselves? How informed are they of their government's rights violations?
Well, the population here is highly polarized, and as more and more of these facts come to light, there is a greater segment of the population, I would say almost 3-1 now, that is against the Harper government. The problem is that we won't have an election here for several years, and Harper has abrogated parliamentary procedures, so he's functioning almost like a dictator.
Indeed.
So, it's sort of like the U.S. during the Bush years, where Bush was able to fight a completely illegal and genocidal war in Iraq and in Afghanistan. And we have the same analogy here. But I think that the Canadian population are onto him. And the vox populi is turning against him by the day.
Indeed. Well, we'll have to leave it there for the time being. Many thanks to Alfred Lambert-Mont Weber, human rights lawyer from Vancouver. Thanks for your time there, sir.
This is FSNN reporter MJ Del Valle in Tbilisi, Georgia. Free Speech Radio News has been an essential outlet for my stories from the Caucasus region, including in-depth looks at the recent Armenian presidential election, the creative ways protesters in Azerbaijan are using to fight for freedom of expression and labor struggles in the Republic of Georgia. But FSRN, along with the voices of people struggling for dignity, equality, and human rights, could be silenced. Find out how can you support independent grassroots journalists at fsrn.org.
In articles acknowledging the one-year anniversary of the assault on Gaza, blunt and unsparing language is rare. Despite sympathy and support for the Palestinian people, the description of what took place in January 2009 is sometimes buffered by a misguided sense of political correctness. Yes, it's terrible. Yes, it is unjust. But we don't want to be inflammatory or risk offending the sensitivities of those who, through their own willful ignorance, cling to the notion that Israel is a victim state, fighting for its very survival. This commentary is more forthright. Gaza, in plain language. The sociopathic Zionist administration of Israel, as part of its continuing brutal colonization of Palestine, deliberately devastated the already nearly incapacitated infrastructure which supports the existence of 1.5 million refugees. The people of Gaza, second, third, and fourth generation dispossessed Palestinians, are living in forced exile from land their families inhabited and cultivated for generations. half of them are children under the age of 15. Their culture and their economy has been systematically ravaged by Israel for decades, and since 2006, a criminal siege, supported by the United States, as well as much of the international community, has deprived them of all but the most minimal resources for subsistence. This oppressed and brutalized population was bombed, bulldozed, and terrorized mercilessly for 23 days. What follows is a small sampling of facts concerning the barbaric actions which one of the most powerful military machines in the world took against a captive and defenseless population. If the reality presented here goes beyond the stretch of your imagination, you can verify the data yourself with a few simple Google searches. Though you'd better hurry, much of this information seems to be disappearing down Google's memory hole, just as is the fate of the people of Gaza. You may discover that exact figures vary somewhat depending on the source, but whether it was 21,000 structures or 22,000 structures destroyed, whether 280 schools were destroyed or badly damaged versus 230, the overwhelming truth of the physical devastation which took place in Gaza and the fact that this destruction was deliberate and premeditated is irrefutable. Even the Goldstone Report, itself a document with severe pro-Zionist overtones, issued by a declared Zionist and a supporter of Israel, states, unequivocally, the deliberate actions of the Israeli forces and the declared policies of the government of Israel cumulatively indicate the intention to inflict collective punishment on the people of the Gaza Strip in violation of international humanitarian law. We've heard, time and again, that more than 1,400 Palestinians were killed, over 80% of them civilians, including 342 children. These figures have become a familiar talking point in discussions of last year's assault, so much so that they may have lost their impact. But what we are not often reminded of is the horrific level of carefully planned destruction of civilian infrastructure in Gaza orchestrated by Israel during Operation Cast Lead. Financed and armed by the United States, the Israeli military destroyed 15% of the structures in Gaza, approximately 22,000 buildings, including 5,300 housing units, destroyed or subject to major damage. Another 52,000 homes receive some form of structural damage. Over 200 factories and 700 stores and businesses were destroyed or badly damaged. Of the residences, factories, and businesses completely destroyed, 1,300 of the homes and approximately 25% of the commercial property were deliberately and painstakingly bulldozed or exploded by Israeli ground forces. 8 hospitals and 26 primary health care clinics were damaged or destroyed. More than 280 schools were damaged or destroyed. Water and sewage treatment facilities, as well as electricity infrastructure, were deliberately targeted, leaving vast segments of the population with little or no power or clean water for the duration of the assault and for weeks and months to follow. Massive amounts of agricultural lands were systematically bombed or bulldozed.
When the Israelis invaded the Gaza Strip, they came straight in here. I've covered earthquakes, hurricanes, and the tsunami. And what has happened here is as bad or worse than anything I've seen in any of those. And this was done by Israeli bulldozers.
Some estimates suggest that as much as 80% of the arable land in Gaza has been ruined or declared off-limits to the people of Gaza over the last decade. 2 million liters of wastewater from Gaza City's sewage treatment plant, bombed during the assault, leaked into surrounding agricultural land, making it unusable. An Israeli television station boasted that Israeli warplanes alone, without accounting for tank, ground troop and warship ammunition, dropped approximately 1,000 tons of bombs on Gaza during Operation Cast Lead. The effort involved months, if not years, of carefully considered target selection, giving the lie to any claim that the devastation was incidental.
We are trying to avoid any kind of civil casualties.
Zaitun, also flattened by Israeli bulldozers. But in this house, they'd herded 100 members of the Samuni clan, and then they shelled it, killing 49 of them.
We are trying to avoid any kind of civil casualties.
It requires a stunning level of denial and self-delusion to pretend that the destruction which was achieved in Gaza had anything to do with Israel's security or the targeting of Hamas militants. This was savage and barbaric collective punishment unleashed on a civilian population, nothing less. Any suggestion to the contrary must be sharply and immediately ridiculed as absurd. This was arguably the first aerial bombing campaign ever conducted on a defenseless civilian population held captive within a fenced enclosure and not allowed to escape the assault. It is a measure of the cynical mindset of the Israeli military that leaflets were sometimes dropped in neighborhoods about to be bombed, suggesting the residents flee. "We are about to destroy your home. You had better get out." "Flee to where? Gazans are not allowed to leave their open-air prison, not even when under attack." This tactic on the part of Israel also gives the lie to the claim that homes and buildings were targeted because there were Hamas militants hiding inside them. Why then warn them to leave before destroying the structures? Given this litany of horror and the coldly premeditated nature of its execution, we must ask, what kind of society condones this level of brutality? What precedent is there for such monstrous disregard for the basic tenets of human decency? Unfortunately, we need look no further than the behavior of the United States, Israel's staunch supporter and mentor. In Iraq, the toll of U.S. militarism is well over a million lives, and a large part of the infrastructure of a nation of 26 million people has been ruined. And what of Gaza today, 1 year later? Israel's continued illegal siege, enabled by the United States and the U.S. client state, Egypt, has prevented any substantial amount of building material from entering Gaza. Essentially, no reconstruction has been possible. The people of Gaza live amidst the rubble created by Israeli hatred and aggression. They are attempting to rebuild their communities using mud bricks and whatever can be salvaged from the wreckage. The next time someone argues Israel has a right to defend itself, or attempts to use the abusive spouse defense, "Look what you made me do."
"They are forcing us to kill their children to defend our children."
Tell them no. Tell them there can never be any acceptable justification for the deliberate devastation of an entire society. It is unconscionable. It is wrong. Plainly put, there is no sane argument in favor of such behavior. Those who believe there is should be rebuked and must be vigorously opposed.
I'm Dick Gregory with PETA. Martin Luther King Jr. taught me the fight against oppression is never an easy one. It's even harder if you have no voice. For animals held captive in circuses, life consists of cramped cages, shackles, and daily beatings. There is no escape. They cannot demand their freedom. Images like these bring only one word to my mind: slavery. Be an abolitionist for the animals. Please don't go to circuses. For more information, contact PETA.
757-622-PETA.
This is Radio Anguindian. Anguindian Radio for the Fourth World.